Sentarse ahí. I'm Jesu, and I lead the Tamil congregation at the Rostrava Baptist, as I was introduced, and great worshiping with you again, as I was here about approximately 2 months ago, and I'm seeing some, you know, familiar faces from last time, so I'm assuming I didn't do such a bad job last time that kept you away, or, you know, you're very committed, dedicated Christians that we'll get through this. whichever way, you know. Praise to God. As I mentioned, when I was it was a big topic when the invitation came from Pastor Darrell to come and preach here again. I wanted to bring, you know, something that is fresh, something that is new, and the Lord put in my heart about prayer, and I thought, oh, you know, probably I'm not the best person, and that's why God wants me to preach on this one, so I can get something out of this as well. It's a much bigger topic, but I hope this word continues in you as you read and as you hear, you know, many more sermons that this word about prayer keeps growing in you. That's my desire. It all started with the hard teaching. So last year, as part of the Tamil congregation, we went on a retreat. Good to see that all of this works. So this was at a leadership retreat that we did in October last year with the Tamil congregation. And the guest speaker said, the topic was on prayer, and he was going through, you know, various points. And one thing he said, you know, husbands, you need to be at peace with your wives, with your wife, and for your, you know, with your for your prayers to be answered. And I straight away, involuntarily, I said, "Wow, this is hard teaching." He didn't like that a bit. And this is the verse he quoted. He actually, you know, rebuked me in front of my congregation, but he used this verse in saying, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." So in this, what Paul is quoting is that, you know, In the married life, you know, there needs to be harmony, and I believe this applies to, you know, to both the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, to live in harmony so that prayers are not hindered. And one of the understanding that scholars give is that, you know, the answers to your prayers are not hindered. And I'm like, oh, this is, you know, this is interesting. Never heard that taught before. So probably this applies to the family as well, you know, if we can stretch it a little bit. So, and this led me into this question, hang on a minute, if there's, you know, all these aspects of prayer that we're not aware of, then what else is there? And this made me think, what are the other hindrances, or what are the keys to answered prayer? And so we look at some scriptural references as to what Jesus taught us. And what other, you know, other people and also other Bible characters, like the, you know, the apostles told us about prayer. So before that, let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Father, that we are here in your presence, and what a wonderful, place it is to be your Father. And bless this word for us, and may these words be life and truth in our lives, and continue to grow, so that we grow into the fullness of what you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is how we should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So what is Jesus commanding us? I want to use that word specifically because it's not a suggestion. You know, many times we think we take God's word as, you know, I'll do it when I feel like it, or I'll do it when it's convenient, but it is, I just wanted to emphasize it a little bit strongly here, so I've used the word specifically, commanding us. He's saying have that secret place for praying, I should have put in there, for praying. Says a place where you specifically go for prayer. It could be a reading room, a couch, or just a corner, or it could be a park bench, or, you know, there's some beautiful spots here under a tree, somewhere where you go, when you know you're going there, it is to speak to God. So have that specific space. Some people even pray at the church during weekdays, you know, when no one's around, you know, they come to the altar and, you know, pour out their hearts, and I've been to, you know, church on weekdays at times, and there'll be this loud prayer coming out, and go, this couple is praying. They come every Wednesday, whatever, you know, they have a routine of going into the church when no one's around, and they pour out, do what works for you, do what suits for you, but have that specific prayer. What I've found for me is, while I'm driving, you know, I drive a solid, you know, 3/4 of an hour each way, and it is good for me to continue praying, but it always starts at home. So have some quiet time in the morning, and, you know, continue that prayer in your car, and I've found that to be really powerful, and I've had, you know, some wonderful experiences as well from God answering prayer while I'm driving, giving me that peace. And I look at it as a top up. So, you know, as to your prayer. And one day, you know, I don't know, yesterday or somewhere, I heard someone saying that, you know, they're not a morning person, and God is now asking them to, you know, to pray in the morning. And I've been like that. I'm used to going late to bed at night, even from my uni days, or even before study, reading. And then, you know, wake up probably around this time. And I even had a habit of missing the first hour at the uni and only going to the second hour. But anyway, that's just my thing. But when God, you know, pulled me back to His love, I was totally changed. You know, go to bed on time, almost, and wake up in the morning, and I pray. One day this happened to me. I just want to emphasize this. This is in our old house. I'm still working out my routine in the new house. We've only been there less than 6 months, I think. In our old house, I had a library set up with a lot of, you know, Christian books and theology and all of that. And that would be my morning go-to. But I've heard, I think I might have shared this last time, is while I'm walking to there, you know, sometimes God, you know, speaks to me. So it's been a wonderful experience. One day I was really tired, and I was snoozing the alarm, and I'm like, oh no, let me sleep a little bit longer. And then I had this dream, and there was this a pigeon or a dove, a white dove, in the prayer room, you know, like waiting for me. So I opened this room and this dove is flying around and I'm like, what's this? And then I see the colors. It was such a bright white and silver. I go, oh, this must be the Holy Spirit, you know. This was in my dream. And I go, oh, God is waiting for me, you know. It gave me that sense of, that God is expectantly waiting for that, you know, that communion with us, to fellowship with us. And that encouraged me in prayer. So I wanted to share that, So have that secret, when I'm saying secret, that special place where you pray. And the next one is Jesus is specifically saying, do not babble on, as God knows what we need even before we ask. So in faith, make requests known to God. It actually takes more faith to pray using less words. This has been my missing, you know. We sometimes whinge and carry on, thinking that, you know, God doesn't care or whatever, but to pray with less words and to know that he cares for us, that he is our Father and he loves us, and that it is not that we are, you know, trying to, you know, jam our prayers into the ears of an uncaring God. It is not like that. God cares for us and he wants to answer our prayers. And, sometimes people like to inform God in prayer, God, there's, you know, people suffering, you know, as if, you know, God doesn't know, and that we have to keep God informed. I've never heard an answered prayer like God saying back, really, I didn't know that. Thanks for keeping me informed. You know, that unless anyone has, you know, heard that answer back from God, I'd like to hear that. But in knowing that God cares for us, I think is the heart of the fellowship. So we go from a place, I will, you know, hopefully touch on that as I go through my notes, is we are not bending the arm of an unwilling God. That is not what prayer is. And that brings us to the next one, as our Father in heaven. That is a key point. You know, I may be preaching to the converted here, you may have heard this, but I think if it's, you know, even if it's reiterating, if it is just to go over the basics that you know, it is still good. Knowing God as a Father is, I think, the most important aspect of our fellowship with God. He is heaven, so it does need a certain amount of faith to access or to go to God and to know of his love. And over a period of time, we grow in this fellowship and we know the nature of God, who God is and where his heart is. And, you know, there are things in prayer that when I go to, I know that, you know, God wants to answer that. We get to that, even praying for someone. Once I was mentioning, I was driving the car and a colleague of mine shared, some of the struggles he was going through with his, with separation, from his wife and other aspects of it, but there was a child involved and he was sharing certain things with me. And as I was driving back home, it just broke my heart. I was sobbing in the car and praying for this little child that, that God to, you know, be in this situation, help them. And, you know, it broke my heart and I knew that, you know, it is God's heart. It was not, I didn't think it was me, but it's God's heart. It broke his heart, and, you know, that brokenness comes to us to pray, you know, so fervently and being in that communion and knowing God's heart, I think is important. And also asking God, you know, why is this happening? You know, what's going on? why is this situation, you know, going this way when we prayed or, you know, we've asked God in a certain way? And many times, we want to go to God for the bigger things, as if, you know, the smaller things would disturb him. I would encourage you to actually even pray for the smaller thing. I've had this experience once. We couldn't find a key that you only use rarely, and I'm going and I'm praying, God, you know, show me, God, show me, God, show me, and we found it. And so in many smaller things like that, you know, we blame each other, or, you know, we blame our memory or growing old. You know, we hear a lot of excuses, but, you know, ask God, and for the smaller things as well as the bigger things in life. And I don't know where this notes is leading. Okay. On the other aspect is what Jesus, the word that Jesus used for Father was Abba, which was the Aramaic word equivalent to our daddy. And as you know, none of the rabbis in those days or any of the Jewish teachings, none of them called God the Father. So God Almighty, Creator God, you know, Yahweh, the Covenant God. So there was a lot of El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty. There was all of many names for God. But it was Jesus who introduced Father to us as the daddy. So I think that is a starting point for us, you know, to go into God's presence and to say, God, I want this. I want this done, or I want this done, you know, for this dear sister, this brother, this family, whatever it is, to go into God as the Father. And John, who was a dear disciple of, very well-loved disciple of Jesus, says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. So this comes to praying according to the will of God. I'd like to highlight that word confidence in there. So we boldly go into God's presence with the confidence that God is going to answer our prayer if we ask according to His will. And I think that is the key, is if we ask anything. I think many times, you know, we think that God is random, that He answers some prayers, you know, and not others. And you would have heard this being said, you know, prayer doesn't change God, it changes us. You know, there's many different theories that come from the side, but I can't find a biblical basis for, you know, the prayer changes us. The Bible always teaches a childlike faith. When you ask God in His will, He always answers. He says anything. I don't think it can be much more clearer than anything. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The reason I'm going through quite a few scriptures is to highlight certain aspects. And if you look at the last two verses, they were written by two different people, but the word confidence, it's not like you know, going to God without to an unknown God. We are going to, you know, the God, our God, our Father, and it is to go confidence. Let me use another example. If a child comes, if your child comes to you and says, Mom, if it is your will, can I have dinner? Has anyone, any child done that? Or can I have this special cake for my birthday if it is your will? You know, we know that when we go, you know, we're going to get that. You know, oh no, I don't like this. Can you make this one for me tomorrow? Or, you know, so we go to God with that confidence that, you know, He answers us, He wants to answer us, and He delights in us. So the aspect of that in my experience is to grow in that relationship, in knowing that God wants to answer our prayers. You know, ask the small things and start. It is not, I'm not saying, you know, the me, you know, that's not what I'm saying, but in our, you know, in our deepest desires, in what we, you know, what, not what we want, but what we really need in life, you know, God wants to answer us and God is there for us. And many times, especially in our life, you know, God answers us even before we ask for, you know. I just mentioned that we moved to this new house 6 months ago. We weren't praying for a new house, and we were planning to put an extra bedroom in our current house, and 2 weeks later we were speaking to this architect, trying to figure out how to do this extension. It was a tricky layout and this, and bang, one leads to the other. 2 weeks later we signed a contract to go to this house, and we go, how did we get from there to here? You know, it's, and then we prayed about it. You know, God is saying, no, I had this plan. You didn't have it. I had this plan. And you go, okay, thank you. So there are times when, you know, God's blessings come to us in totally unexpected ways. And we know of many other families who've been looking for a house for years and, you know, still haven't moved. And, you know, 2 weeks, I think it's a pretty good prayer that wasn't even prayed. So God delights in, you know, blessing us. You know, I'm using some earthly examples, but, you know, there's many more spiritual blessings that I've received as well. But I'm using some examples that are recent in my life, and also that, you know, probably may be useful to others as well. And also the confidence according to His will. And I think that's where abiding in Christ, you know, that fellowship, that growing in that intimate relationship with Christ is important, because, you know, God through life's experiences molds us more like His Son. Some experience that might, you know, break the person who does not, you know, believe in Christ actually strengthens us, and we grow, you know, from that experience. We bounce back even stronger. And that is why that prayer, that fellowship, is important. And Evan Roberts, who led the Welsh Revival, or was a key figure in the Welsh Revival, his prayer was, "Bend me, Lord, bend me." And I was watching last week, because I was preparing for this prayer, and I was looking at George Mueller and a few other you know, documentaries on YouTube. It's good for that. And his prayer was not, you know, "God, give me this," or, you know, "I want to see this." He was saying, "Bend me, bend me." And that, it's such a simple, you know, phrase, but it stuck with me, saying, "Bend me, bend me." And some of the times, even when we are, you know, forging ahead in God's plan, or what, or the blessings that God has for us, discouragement hits us, right? And I've done a PhD in discouragement, so don't talk to me about that. The reason I'm saying is, you know, I'm not an expert, as I say, a lived expert on these, but God has asked me to share this with you so that I get something out of this as well. So even when we are in perfectly in God's will, when we are going through a phase of blessing, something small happens, and, you know, I'm like, "Oh God, you know, what's going on?" You know, one of the examples that I'd like to share is all recent. This thing, we were waiting for the gas connection for the new house, and we're going through so much of this thing. It should be a simple task of, you know, getting a gas connection, and my wife can, you know, share this as well, as in, you know, will agree that we were waiting for this thing, and the guy wouldn't rock up, and he'd say, "No, there's a meter, some unique number that's identified," which I never knew, because this was a new build. And they said, you know, "That doesn't match, so we can't come." So she would have waited like 4 hours at home waiting for this. And it took a week, and we couldn't move from the old house because we had no hot water in the new house. And one day, as I was coming back, driving back, So the disappointment hit me and going, God, you know, it should be such a simple thing. Why is it, you know, we know you've blessed us in this house, you know, you want us to move, and why is this happening? Really discouraged. And I'm coming home, okay, so this shows you the level of, you know, prayer and faith that I have, you know. So I'm coming home and, you know, really discouraged. And that was a day that I fasted and prayed. So I'm coming back home and I said, all right, let me pray and then go and have my dinner. And as I was praying, there's this, you know, hope or praise rising within me where the Holy Spirit is saying, no, I want you to, you know, praise God for this. I'm like, what is there to praise? You know, God can't even organize a, you know, get me a gas connection. But then I said, all right, God, whatever it is, you know, I praise you. I thank you that we haven't, you know, we're struggling to make this gas connection. Whatever, I don't understand, but I said, all right, God, I will praise you. And then I went and had my dinner. So I'm still a bit discouraged. And I thought, oh, I'll go and have a early, you know, bed. And I was lying in bed. And then the Holy Spirit started, you know, speaking to me, saying, look, God is not blocking your this thing, you know. Whatever the things in the world that is happening, there are certain things that are blocking. And I realized then that God wanted me to have this, but who's blocking it? And God showed me who's blocking it, the God of shadows or the God of darkness. And then I, in a half asleep, I'm in my bed and I'm going, you know, I said, hands off, devil. You know, this is God's blessing and I'm going to have it. And then next day, things fell in place. You know, somehow the, I think it was the gas connection, the gas agency, what was it called? You know, the one they gave, they said, look, I know the builder isn't giving you the right number, but we think this should be your unique number. And then everything fell in place and that weekend we moved. So it was within the next day the prayer was answered and the, you know, the gas connection was restored. You know, I'm just saying there is a connection in how, you know, we go through. Sometimes God allows these certain things to happen so that we learn to trust in God more. But the final element of it is that the prayer is answered and God is for us. And the enemy is always trying to tell us that, you know, God really doesn't care about you. Or, you know, God can't do this. Whatever, the discouragement comes off the enemy, and that's what he's been doing from day dot, you know, saying to Adam and Eve and to others. So the last but one is repentance. He says, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And the repentance and forgiveness, or asking God for forgiveness and also forgiving others, is a very important part of our prayers getting answered. Why is that? Because if we don't forgive, then we are asking God, we are telling God, God, I don't need your forgiveness. You can lay out all my, you know, indebtedness on the table and you can hold it against me. That's what we are telling God. And I don't think that'll be pretty, you know, good for me if God were to hold everything I did against me. So it is good I think I'm a little bit over time, so I'll just quickly wrap it up. So God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So there is a humility in asking for forgiveness, in forgiving others and asking for forgiveness. And also Jesus is saying, if you ask in my name, and in my name talks about being like Jesus, and which is the right, which brings us to the question of righteousness. We approach God on the righteousness of what Jesus has done. And so that is the boldness that comes, is from going into God God's presence, the throne of grace, boldly, confidently into the throne of grace, just as Jesus would do. We are going, Jesus is representing us when we are going. So when God sees us, God is seeing Jesus as the asking or praying. So in my name, and I think that is why the forgiveness is an important aspect of doing what Jesus did. And on the cross, he said, you know, forgive these people. They know not what they've done, what they're doing. Another aspect of it is, he confess your faults to one another and pray for each other. So the prayer of praying for each other is very important. And I wouldn't say, you know, confess your faults to everyone or, you know, to a group, but to the people you trust within the church. I think that's how I believe we grow in church, and it's lacking in areas, is that we don't want people in the church to actually know, you know, what we're going through, or some of the, in, at least in certain churches, is to, you know, find the people that you trust and confess your faults, and it really helps, in getting a breakthrough. The prayer of a righteous person avails much, says James, and that righteousness, as I mentioned, comes from being in Christ and having that humility to walk just as Jesus walked. And he also said, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be open. It clearly says, to everyone who knocks, not just someone. And James also says, you know, ask for wisdom, because God gives, without discrimination, God gives wisdom to everyone. And I believe that wisdom is the key to know, you know, to God's will, to understand and to grow in the fear of God, but also to ask without any doubt, and to ask boldly. So this brings back that subject, and he says, you do not have because you do not ask. And when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may squander it on your pleasures. The emphasis here is, again, being in the will of God and having that mind of Christ. The last and final point is that entering his gates with thanksgiving. The only element of worship that is given in the Bible is to enter God's courts with thanksgiving. Many times, you know, as I was mentioning that when I go through a patch of discouragement or whatever for unanswered prayer, it's because I don't have that attitude of gratitude. I know that God has answered my prayer. I know God has blessed me in many areas. And at the time when you're praying for something and you're discouraged, look back and thank God for all the things that he's done, even if you don't feel like it, because, you know, feelings are unreliable, but pray and give thanks to God. Say, God, you've been faithful. You know, you've answered my prayer here. You've blessed me in this aspect. You know, you've blessed me in this, even, you know, when I didn't pray, you've given me this blessing. Let the praise and thanksgiving rise up within you. And, you know, that opens the doors of heaven for your answered prayer, answers to your prayer, and also to peace. And there is a place of being in peace and asking God. And even, you know, there's struggles around and whatever's happening, being in that place of peace is important, because we know that we are approaching God, our Father, and when we ask him, or approaching God, our Daddy, and we're saying, you know, this is what I want, and I'm asking from a place of confidence and faith. And with that, I shall finish, and hope this word blesses you as it blessed me in preparing.